David, son of Jesse, by the authority vested in me as priest of the God of Israel, I place this scepter in thy hand as a symbol of your authority as vicegerent of God. Upon your brow, I place this diadem, crowning you king, king of all Israel. It has taken many years, David, and much patience on your part. But at last, God's will is fulfilled. You are king over a strong, united, and obedient Israel. Long live the king!
Long live the king! Long live the king!
Well, Uncle Dan, must be you're going to tell us another Bible story about David.
That's right, Aunt Sue. In fact, it's the first chapter in a four-part series. This particular episode is found in 2 Samuel, chapter 5, and I call it...
A Tunnel to Success.
And David was 37 years old when he began to reign over all Israel.
Members of my court, some of you have been with me since the days of the cave of Adullam. Some of you held your positions under King Saul. But all of us together have a solemn duty to perform for Israel, God's chosen people.
Long live the king!
God covenanted with Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and many others of our forefathers to make of his people a great people, like the sands of the sea in number, countless as the stars in the heavens, the most powerful people on earth and the greatest of all nations. If we obey his will and keep our part of the covenant, these things shall come to pass.
We will keep his commandments and walk in his statutes, O king.
Long live the king!
Our first duty is to choose a site better fitted than Hebron to be the capital city of such a great and powerful nation. On that site we'll build a city. It shall become known far and wide as the capital city of Israel, wherein dwell the leaders of God's people. The name of the city itself shall become symbolic of the greatness and the omnipotence of our God.
Glory be to the name of Jehovah!
I've discussed the matter of a proper site with several of you. We are agreed that the site now known as Jebus is suitable. It's 20 miles from here. In days of old, it was known as Salem, and the ancient priest Melchizedek lived there. It's situated in a central position of Israel. It's elevated and thus protected by its hills. It has easy access to all the tribes of our people. Are there any objections to this site as the future location of the capital of Israel?
Your Majesty, I am...
Yes, General Joab.
Your Majesty, I'm fully in accord with my king's selection of Jebus as the crown city to be of the Hebrew nation. However, I should like to point out that for centuries, ever since the death of Joshua, the city of Jebus has been occupied by the Canaanites or Jebusites, and that it is an impregnable stronghold.
I agree with that.
My men and I have personally inspected all the defenses of Jebus, both natural and man-made, Your Majesty, and we could find no weakness or flaw. Unless God works a direct miracle, I see no hope of ever acquiring Jebus.
We cannot expect God to work a miracle for us. If there's any way at all that we ourselves can accomplish the task.
Well, I readily admit that, Your Majesty, and it is exactly why I said God would have to perform a miracle if we are ever to occupy Jebus. We of ourselves can never capture it.
There's a flaw in the defenses of Jebus.
There is?
One tiny flaw. A flaw that's been overlooked. But if we take advantage of it, the site can be taken.
Well, what is the flaw, Your Majesty?
I'm going to reveal it to all of you. The first one of you who successfully uses it, resulting in the capture of the Jebusites and their city, will become commander-in-chief of the combined armies of Israel and Judah. There's no well or spring of water within the city walls of Jebus. Yet for centuries, Jebus has been able to withstand all sieges, regardless of their length, because they have an unlimited supply of water from outside the walls. Water from the spring called Gihon. The problem was how to get the water inside the walls during the siege. Well, to accomplish this, the Jebusites built a tunnel level with the spring, westward through solid rock. The continuous flow of the spring keeps this tunnel filled, or nearly filled, with water. Then they dug a shaft straight up to a place inside the walls of the city. Thus, they're able to get water by merely drawing the water up with buckets to the top of the shaft.
I'm beginning to understand. Your Majesty, is this tunnel from the spring to the shaft completely filled with water?
Viewing the opening of the tunnel from the spring, it's not completely filled. However, if the tunnel slopes downward, the inner part would be filled.
One might have to swim underwater to reach the shaft.
Yes, I believe one might.
Does His Majesty have any knowledge at all of the shaft going up into the city? How large it is or how high?
It may be large enough for only a bucket. Or it may be much larger. Only the Jebusites seem to know. They keep it a secret. Any other questions? It's our only avenue into the city and its eventual capture. Now, here's the plan. The first one to gain entrance into the city by way of this tunnel and shaft will make his way to the gate and let our army in. And Joab and his men went out to take the stronghold of the Jebusites, the city which David desired to become the capital city of the nation. Now in the city of Jebus...
Captain! Captain of the guards! Captain!
Yes, yes, what is it, watchman?
Sir, from my lookout up here on the wall tower, there appears to be an army of soldiers approaching the city.
What? Did you say an army?
Yes, sir.
From which direction is it approaching?
From the highway that leads to Hebron, sir.
Hebron? Watchman, tell the bugler to sound an alert. Just as soon as I can get away, I'll join you up there.
Yes, sir.
Guard! Guard!
Yes, sir, Captain.
An army is approaching the city. Now clear the gates of all traffic. Allow a little time for the people still outside the walls to return. And then order the gatesmen to close and secure the gates. That is all.
Right away, sir.
Well, watchman, can you make out whose army it is?
Not exactly, sir. But I strongly suspect it's David's.
What? Little David's band of 600 men?
Sir, he's the David who slew the giant Goliath. And he is now king of all Israel.
Yes, I know.
His army now numbers well into the tens of thousands, sir.
But what could David be sending his army to Jebus for?
Perhaps he plans to take over our city.
Take over Jebus? What with, his slingshot? Ha ha! Well, if David is that stupid, he'll soon discover that his armies of tens of thousands is no match for a city with walls tens of feet high.
It is David's army. I recognize their leader, Joab. Oh, he's a mighty warrior.
You up there on the city wall.
I hear you, Joab, David's general. Say on.
In the name of David, King of all Israel, I demand that the gates be opened and the city of Jebus be surrendered to my forces at once.
Oh, so you demand, do you? Well, now, you may demand all you wish, General Joab, but I will command that the gates of Jebus remain as they are, closed and barred.
If you refuse to obey my orders, then my army will lay siege to Jebus, and in time we will take the stronghold.
Go right ahead, my man. Lay all the siege you wish. Know you not that for centuries Jebus has withstood all enemy attack? You shall not come into the city. If you ever did, the lame and the blind would turn your back.
The forces of Joab were stationed at the city gates and instructed to be ready for immediate attack at the moment the gates should be flung open.
Corporal.
Yes, Joab, sir.
Come with me.
Yes, sir. Where are we going, sir?
The spring of Gihon.
Oh, to get water, sir?
David has pointed out that we may be able to find entrance to the stronghold at the spring of Gihon. He also said that the first man to successfully enter the city of Jebus would become commander over the combined forces of Israel. And I intend to be that man.
Yes, sir.
Now, Corporal, we're going to study the situation here, see if the water can be choked off sufficiently for a short time to allow us to make our way down this tunnel to where the vertical shaft is. Now, do you think it is best to go this way?
But, sir, it's night, dark. You can't see a thing.
Well, neither can they see us.
How are you possibly going to go through that tunnel and up the shaft in the dark? You probably couldn't do it even in the daytime.
Our only chance of success is while it's dark. In the early morning, when it is least likely that someone will be at the shaft drawing water. I'll go into the spring first, then start down the tunnel. You follow close behind. The water is down enough, so we may be able to keep our heads above all the way. I estimate the tunnel to be, 50, 60 feet long. Hmm? Yeah. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. Oh, it's cold. Whoops. It gets deeper here. I just barely walk on the tip of my toes. Well, if the dust doesn't get any deeper, we'll be all right. Now, a little more shallow here. I'm not going to say any more unless someone hears us at the top of the shaft. Follow me.
Yes, sir. This far was easy, but getting up that shaft. Can't see a thing up there, not even the stars.
Can you feel the opening to the shaft?
Not yet. I'm feeling around, and here it is. It's not a very large opening.
I can make it. Here, let me stand on your shoulders.
What are you going to do?
Go to the top of the shaft?
Of course, sir, but how?
This shaft is just big enough for me to work my way up with my back against one wall, my feet and hands against the other.
But isn't it wet and slippery?
No, the shaft diggers weren't too particular about making the wall smooth. Ooh, there, I'm all set. From now on, we will say not one word. I'll work my way to the top slowly. When I get there, that'll be the signal for you to make your way back out to the spring, then to the camp. Tell David I will make my way to the north gate. Open it just at dawn.
Success to you, sir, and God be with you.
See you at sunup.
David, sir, it's almost sunup and the gates are still closed. Do you think General Joab has a chance?
Joab is a clever man and the Lord is on our side. I believe that... The gate, it's opening. Forward! Forward, armies of Israel! Into the city!
So David overcame the Jebusites and took the stronghold and dwelt in the fort and called it the City of David. It later became known as the City of Jerusalem, City of Peace.
This is a wonderful place for Israel's capital. Situated on two hills, naturally fortified on three sides, with beautiful and fertile valleys in between. But this place, as the Jebusites used it, isn't nearly big enough for the capital of a large nation like Israel.
Well, there's plenty of room to build.
Exactly, Joab. And I'm going to rebuild the city and enlarge it inward toward the Hinnom Valley.
It's going to be a beautiful place, Your Majesty, and absolutely impregnable, since I established defense at the Gihon Spring Shaft.
And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. Far to the north of any land assigned by Joshua to the children of Israel, there was a small nation called Tyre. Its king during this time was Hiram. The kingdom of Tyre was so small that its people, when invaded by an enemy, would cross an open bay of water to the island of Tyre. This island contained only 140 acres and eventually became the exclusive habitation of the Turians.
General?
Yes, Your Majesty, great and mighty King of Tyre.
I understand some of your spies have just returned from the south. Any new developments in the land of Canaan?
Yes, Your Majesty, many important things have been taking place in and around Israel. David has been made king of Israel as well as Judah. His subjects love and respect him. Thus, it is inevitable, Your Majesty, that Israel becomes a strong and united nation.
And he started out as a mere shepherd lad. Amazing. Anything else of importance?
Yes, sire. David and his army have captured the stronghold of the Jebusites.
You mean the fortress city of Jebus has finally been taken?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Oh, he is a man of great prowess, David. You know, General, I think it's about time we make an alliance with him. We are a small country, but rich. His kingdom is large and powerful. A combination of the two should be invincible.
I heartily agree, Your Majesty.
City of Jebus. Just what purpose did David have in going to the trouble of taking it? After all, it is only a mere dot on the landscape of Israel.
It is to be the capital city of Israel, Your Majesty.
Ah, so that's it. Scribe, summon all the members of my court to a special session immediately. Each of you will begin at once to accomplish your assigned task, and remember to select only the best building materials. In the meantime, I shall send messengers to David to inform him of my purpose. I am sure he will welcome our aid. You are dismissed.
Ambassadors from Hiram, King of Tyre, to see His Majesty, King of Israel!
Glory to David, King of Israel, may he live forever.
Welcome to the land of Israel. May your stay be long and pleasant.
We come to this beautiful land, Your Majesty, with a message of goodwill and everlasting happiness from our king to the great and renowned David, King of Israel.
I'm grateful for the good wishes of your king. But surely he sends you on this journey of many days for a greater purpose than greetings and best wishes.
His Majesty's perception is unparalleled. We come, Your Majesty, to negotiate an alliance between Israel and Tyre. Tyre is small in area, it's true. Yet we occupy a strategic position on the shores of the Great Sea and carry on commerce with every city and nation bordering its shores. We also have access to a great abundance of costly lumber and trees, metals and minerals. Consequently, we possess great wealth, a source of power in itself. Israel is a great nation occupying many miles of beautiful mountains, streams, and forests. You have fruit and nut trees in abundance. Your people are true and loyal. And you yourself, O king, are a wise and just and mighty king. An alliance between our two nations would cause other nations to look upon us with fear and respect.
You present your case well, Ambassador. Proceed.
His Majesty lacks one thing.
And what may that be?
A royal palace, Your Majesty. A palace your loyal people can point to with pride. A palace large enough to accommodate rooms and structures necessary to carry on the royal business of such a large and powerful nation as Israel.
Again, I say, your king chose well his ambassadors.
Then your majesty would agree
to that. I agree only to the fact that your king is right. Israel is in need of a royal palace. But what has that to do with an alliance between Israel and Tyre?
I have the pleasure of informing His Majesty that at this very moment, great trains of costly materials are on their way from Tyre as gifts to Israel for the building of a royal palace.
But of what use is all that material to me? I've not the talented workmen to build a palace such as you speak of.
Again, I have the honor to inform His Majesty that my king made provision for just such a situation. He is sending architects, carpenters, masons, and workmen of varied skills and ability to build the palace for His Majesty.
You may return to your wise and generous king with the message that David accepts his gifts with deep gratitude and would be happy to enter into an alliance with Hiram, King of Tyre. Furthermore, inform His Majesty that I, David, trust that a warm and lasting friendship will develop between the two nations and peoples.
And they builded David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king and exalted his kingdom for the sake of Israel, God's chosen people. The increasing strength of Israel in its union under David, the acquisition of the stronghold of Jebus as the capital, and the alliance with the rich country of Tyre excited the anger and hostility of a longtime enemy of Israel, the Philistines.
Your Majesty, King Achish of Philistia, I beg permission to speak concerning an important and urgent matter.
Permission granted.
It has to do with the nation of Israel, Your Majesty, and especially with David, their new king.
Yes, David, how well I remember him. A wise and crafty general. Wise and crafty enough to make me believe he was on my side once, and I fell for it.
Well, be that as it may, Your Majesty, David is now king over all Israel. He's conquered Jebus and made it his capital. He's
capturing Jebus was an impossible task, yet David did it. A great man. I wish he were on my side. Proceed.
Now, the latest development, Your Majesty, is that David and Hiram, king of Tyre, have made an alliance.
A dangerous alliance. Looks like David's out to conquer the world.
He can do it too, sir, unless someone stops him.
Do you think you can stop him?
Well, I'd like permission to try, Your Majesty.
How many men, chariots, and horsemen can you muster?
Enough to defeat an army many times the size of Israel's.
How soon can you march against David?
Almost immediately, Your Majesty.
Permission granted. for some reason. Whenever David is mentioned, I get all cold inside, as if... well, as if some magic is at work. Some magic that seems to assure David of victory. I just can't get that feeling out of my mind.
I know exactly what you mean, sire. And it shows how clever David really is. He has purposely created a magical myth about his God being the source of all his successes and victories. But I assure you, sire, there's nothing to it. The only magic of war is this, the sword.
Permission granted, and good luck to you.
Long live the king.
Greetings, General Joab. Your request for an audience mentioned the Philistine army massed in the Valley of Rephaim.
Yes, sir. I came to ask his majesty what he wishes done in the matter.
Thank you, Joab. I shall retire to my private chambers and inquire of the Lord what is to be done. O Lord God of Israel, thou art all-powerful. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that the Philistines are camped in the Valley of Rephaim with the intent of subduing and slaying Israel, thy people. O Lord, shall we fight the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into our hands?
And the Lord bade David go and fight the Philistines. For, said he, I shall surely deliver them into thy hand.
General, the Lord of hosts has promised us victory. So get you together, the army, and we will subdue the Philistines. The Lord has kept his word. The Philistines are defeated. Gather together all the images they've left behind and burn them, that all Israel may know that all gods except the God of Israel are false gods.
What excuses are you going to make this time about the defeat you suffered by the inadequate, untrained, and outnumbered army of David?
None, Your Majesty. Except he was lucky.
You still think the tales of the power of his God are myths?
Yes, Your Majesty, I surely do. Given the time, opportunity, and men, I can prove it. I can wipe David and his army off the face of the earth.
Where are you going to get the men? You've already lost thousands in the war against the Israelites.
I will muster every able-bodied man in all our cities and the cities of our allies.
You have my permission. You may withdraw.
Yes, General Joab, I know. The Philistines are once again in the Valley of Rephaim.
They have a much larger force than before, Your Majesty.
The Lord God can defeat many or few. It matters not. He's all-powerful.
Then we are going to fight them?
I'll let you know as soon as I seek counsel of the Lord. So, O God of hosts, instruct thy servant in this matter.
David, my servant, thou shalt not send thy army against the Philistines. Instead, send an ambush behind them over against the mulberry trees. Let them wait there until they hear the sound of the wind blowing in the trees. Then you shall get up and attack, for then shall the Lord go before you to smite the host of the Philistines.
There's not a cloud in the sky. We may have to wait a long time for the wind to stir the mulberry leaves.
It's no use to talk in whispers, Joab. We're a long way from the Philistine outpost.
Oh, well, yes, Your Majesty. The hardest thing in the world to do is nothing. Just sit still and wait.
One has to learn to be patient, Joab, to wait upon the Lord.
I'm not impatient, Your Majesty. I just want to be up and doing things. I know. Why doesn't His Majesty recite a psalm for us?
Yes, Your Majesty.
All right. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. When I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Listen. Oh, begging his majesty's pardon, but the wind, it blows through the mulberry leaves. It is the sign that the Lord will deliver the Philistines into our hands.
Give the signal to attack.
Yes, sir. Trumpeters, the signal to attack!
And David obeyed the commandment of the Lord, and smote the Philistines from Geba even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations.